Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. If you're not subscribing, then where are you at? I mean, come on. This is where the party is at. And we're going to talk a lot of things that are going on in the veterinary industry now with our wonderful colleagues here, Dr. Brian Hurley and Dr. Luis Gelgiudis. I said it right.
Correct.
Yes, I did it. So welcome to the podcast. And how's it going, my friends?
Excellent. Thanks for having us.
Very good. Yes. Thank you.
Good. Well, to our listeners that are tuned to get a little bit of background about our friends here, Dr. Brian Hurley serves as AmeriVet's National Medical Director. He received his education from, drum roll please, the University of Florida. You have to say, yep, there you go. Go Gators.
Go Gators. You bet.
Yep. Since then, he's run a successful veterinary clinic in Gardner, Massachusetts, where he became AmeriVet's very first veterinary partner. Impressed with the professionalism and the impact AmeriVet has made on his business, he began consulting for them in 2017 while still overseeing his practice, Gardner Animal Care Center. There it is. Hey-o.
There we go.
Is that where you're currently at?
I actually still help manage the practice, but I retired from clinical practice back in August 2020. And we're having a celebration. My business partner retired at the end of 2022. And so they're throwing us both a kind of a retirement welcome to the next life party on Saturday.
Awesome. Well, congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Huge. Well deserved too. And Dr. Luis Gelgiudis is the National Emergency Specialty Director at AmeriVet's Veterinary Partners. He's been in private practice since 2002, and he's worked at emergency specialty hospitals in California, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and New Jersey. Luis has been involved in the training of interns and emergency critical care residents. In addition, he has served on several committees for both the American College of Veterinary Emergency and Critical Care and the Veterinary Emergency Critical Care Society. Luis, what made you get involved in critical care?
I think I have some ADD. So I'm more involved in the emergency, and I tend to have a very short attention span. So I like the variety of emergency.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, because we have a lot of, like I said, listeners that are tuning, especially the vet students. They always like to hear how your journey was there. So that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about yourself. And like, so Brian, you're about to go into retirement. So tell me about like that transition, what that's like. And then I want to chat with Luis a little bit, too, about like emergency medicine.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, my business partner is about 10 years older than I am. You know, back 5 years ago, we were looking at his exit strategy, and I knew I had wanted to kind of move past clinical practice and see if I could give back to the industry. And that's kind of how I ended up at AmeriVet. So I'm really not retired. I'm kind of retired from my practice at Gardner, but I am all in with AmeriVet and, you know, kind of helping them with their practices and making sure that, like I said, it really gives me an opportunity to feel like I'm helping the industry that has treated, you know, me so well over the course of my clinical practice. It also gives me the opportunity to speak to a lot of students, which are a passion of mine. I love talking to them and helping them through, you know, the process, the anxiety, everything that goes along with starting the career in veterinary medicine.
That's awesome. Well, we need individuals like you to help spearhead that. And Luis, what about your background?
Purdue grad, went kind of in the practice for a couple of years, and I went back and did a residency in emergency critical care, finished that up in LA, and then just kind of been floating around since then. Love emergency medicine, love the diversity of emergency medicine. In October of 2020, was looking for a change, was working in New Jersey. Didn't think I was having as much of an impact as I thought I could be. And AmeriVet's given me an opportunity, I think, to have a greater impact on individuals.
So to the listeners, I didn't know about AmeriVet until I took this position here at DVM 360. So Brian, tell us a little bit about AmeriVet.
So AmeriVet Veterinary Partners is a consolidator, you know, very similar to your VCAs, NVAs, as far as what we're doing. I think what differentiates AmeriVet and what excited, me not only as a veterinarian who was looking to help my partner find his exit strategy, but also excited him as well, was the fact that AmeriVet partners with us. So we retain a portion of our practice. We have a vested interest in our practice. So for instance, for us, we retain 40% of Gardner Animal Care Center in this transaction. And so it really did allow us the ability to stay vested. They helped us build our practice, made it stronger, not only from a team's point of view, but also financially, you know, so we were able to grow with them. And so they really do bring to the table the ability to take a veterinary practice and make it a heck of a lot stronger. Because let's face it, you know, we graduate from vet school as veterinarians. We're really not taught business, not enough business to be able to go out there and run, you know, run it like businesses should be run. And so, you know, that's where I think AmeriVet has really separated themselves from the rest of the market. And, you know, we were number one in 2017. We have 197 practices now, and we're growing, and we're only 5.5 years in.
Wow. Interesting. And, you know, the benefits of being a veterinary partner, Luis, how did it work with you? What was your role with that?
I was not an owner, so I just came on board into the people and culture side of the AmeriVet, and then started up learning and development department, kind of getting some education out there to our DVMs and our support staff. And then in June, I took on an operational role for the practice, for the hospital.
And Adam, I'll add to that a little bit too, just to kind of clarify, you know, AmeriVet allows the veterinarian to retain that medical autonomy, right? So what happens within the confines of the hospital remains on the hospital themselves. Culture doesn't change. They don't come in and tell you what you're going to be doing from a medical point of view. What they really help us do is take the business aspect of things, payroll, HR, benefits, all those things that as owners, it's taken away from your ability to practice medicine. So they take that off your plate. So you get to go back to being a veterinarian and dealing with your clients and patients versus having to worry about the paying bills and dealing with all the monotony of running that business.
Right. So you are a practice owner full time, like full on practice owner. And so, you know, I get asked this in this position here at DVM360, you know, I'm trying to look for maybe a partner with exit strategy to your point, or choosing a consolidator. So what was it for you that made it attractive for you to partner with AmeriVet?
What made it attractive was, one, that we were going to be able to maintain that medical autonomy. Two, we felt they were going to offer a better life for our team, you know, things that we weren't capable of doing as just sole owners of a single practice. And, you know, and they were going to allow us the ability to concentrate on medicine more than having to deal with all the back office stuff. They were going to give us quality of life back, because we spent so much time after a long work week of being veterinarians. Then we had to turn our focus towards running the business. And they were going to help us get away from having to spend as much time. And it really did come to fruition. It did happen for my partner and I, and we continue to see it repeat itself over and over again with the other practices that we're buying. But that was the majority. And for my business partner, it was a lot of the corporations that we spoke to was really kind of a short life. It was 1 to 2 years, and then they let us go. And AmeriVet kind of said, you can be here as long as you want. You know, he wanted 5 years, and I'll tell you, 5 years, 2 months, he was out, you know. Yeah. And it gave me an opportunity to get out of practice and do something different a little sooner than even he thought would happen. So that's right. It was really the flexibility of it that really attracted us, and that different model of the partnership versus a take, you know, 100% purchase.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. And I want to talk about there's such a shortage, as you guys know, too, about the veterinarians and veterinary professionals that are out there. And specifically, you know, Luis, you guys are like an extinct species, like criticalist and emergency veterinarian. It's not easy out there. So, you know, I'm curious to see what your take on that. How has that been since COVID? What has AmeriVet done to kind of help combat some of that shortage that's happening? So I'm just curious to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's been definitely tough on our urgent care emergency hospitals, 100%. We've been, you know, losing people like everybody. Kind of trying to figure, ignore the cat in the background, sorry. trying to figure out how to, you know, restructure our practices. What tools can we provide to the DVMs when they're running on shorter numbers? What tools can we provide to the nurses and improve our nurse utilization? How much more can our nurses do so that we can see as many patients as we were seeing before with reduced numbers? Changing the model, the hours, figuring out what works best in the different areas for the community, you know, shifting hours a bit. If we have to shift from 24/7 model to something more of an urgent care, is it early morning? Is it later? So allowing the community to kind of dictate what we can provide for them.
And how are you? You know, literally when somebody asks that nowadays, I feel like it's a different, how are you, but how are you making out now?
For the practices, it's a struggle still, but they're, you know, working through it. For myself, I'm doing great. I get to interact with all these different practices, coach them up in different ways, provide different support to them. So I'm doing wonderful. The practices, we're giving them as much as we can to make sure that they keep pushing through and can survive. So as many tools as we can give them, from emotional support, educational support, mental support. So anything that they need that we can give them.
And speaking of like mental support, Brian, I'm sure with like now that you see other clinics in your network, you know, we know about the burnout, the fatigue, and the mental health. So what are some things that your network is doing to kind of help provide some resources or implement some tools for them?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, primarily we all recognize that, you know, the industry is somewhat under strain due to the shortages, both from veterinarian point of view and support staff, you know, point of view. And, you know, so the first thing is that being cognizant of it. I think our operations team is really good about keeping a pulse in our hospitals of where some of the stressors lie. They will work with the practice manager, the DVMs. You know, I think we're much more open, you know, because I remember back in the day where you just started first thing in the morning, you went until all hours of the night until the job was done. And, you know, we're very well aware of the work-life balance that people are seeking now, and how do we achieve that? So as Dr. Liu said, being flexible with scheduling, making sure that everybody's aware of who's out there that can help. You know, you need to, one, be willing to say, hey, I'm struggling a little bit. But if you're noticing those team members that seem to be struggling a little more, you know, our VMAs all have resources for mental health and well-being now. AmeriVet has not only a team of people that are willing to sit and chat with you and try to help you work through things, but we also have the employee assistant program that offers assistance to those individuals that need it. So we make sure that we're directing them to the right resources and right people to help them.
That's great. I love that. I love hearing that. And, you know, I always like to close by something very upbeat about this great profession that we live in. So I want to ask my friends here, you know, Luis, what do you love about being a veterinarian?
Obviously caring for animals like everybody, but for me, the thing that I love the most is interacting with our teams in the position I'm in now. So seeing a young DVM grow, seeing a technician come up and gain new skills. So being a veterinarian for me right now, it's interacting with our teams and supporting our teams. That's what I love most right now.
Yeah, mentorship is so important, crucial now. Brian, how about yourself?
For myself, you know, I can mimic what Dr. Liu says, but I also, you know, when I was a kid, knowing I wanted to be a veterinarian all my life, the other component that I was always intrigued with was education, right? And so what I love about being a veterinarian is I have spent my life as an educator, whether I'm educating the team, whether I'm educating our clients about their patients. And now as I've moved to the corporate side, helping educate the corporation on what it means to be a veterinarian and what the veterinary industry is, because not everybody is from our industry for on the corporate side, to helping our operations team. It's really what excites me every day is the challenge of how do I educate everybody on whatever it is they need to make themselves successful or their patients healthy.
Yeah, education so crucial. You know, whether you're in the exam room or out, you don't realize you're doing it every day. You know, we're all educators at some way, shape, or form. So it's pretty powerful.
Absolutely.
I love it. And that's why I like now here at, you know, DVM 360, where, you know, we're in continued education. We're just continue to, you know, educate and empower professionals around the world, which is a really great tool. And another cool career option that I tell the listeners too. I mean, if you told me 4 years ago I'd be doing this, I'm like, you're lying. There's no, what is this? You know, but I love how the three of us have such different unique chapters in our role of veterinary medicine. And that's so cool. And I really empower and encourage the listeners to chat with us, you know, reach out to Brian and reach out to Luis or myself to learn about our history more, like where we went, where we're heading, because there's so many great chapters that we could continue to write in our great career of vet med.
Oh, I agree 100%. Couldn't have said it better.
Thank you so much. So, you know, Brian, where can listeners learn more about AmeriVet?
So listeners can learn more about AmeriVet. Great source is our website at AmeriVet.com. That's probably the primary. We have a booth at all the conferences. So with WVC right around the corner in Las Vegas, we will be there. So they can stop by and learn more there. And by all means, they can always reach out to either of us via email and ask any questions that they want.
I love it. Louis, favorite dog breeding, go.
Mutt, mix.
Mix breed. Oh, okay. It's a good one. All right. Well, I'm going to give you a tougher one. No, you can't have that one. Wait, if you had to be any animal in this world, which one would you want to be?
I get this. I would love to be a gorilla.
A gorilla.
It'd be nice silverback gorilla.
Yeah. What about you, Brian? Favorite, which animal would you want to be?
If I had to pick an animal, I got to go with my gator.
you're true and true.
I bleed orange and blue. I just can't help it. And fun fact, my daughter is in her third year at UF as well. So now my wife has to come up with double gators.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Between you and Dr. Mia Carey, if you're listening, Dr. Mia Carey, I always think of you too. She's another one, always doing the gator. I love it. Brian, Luis, thank you so much for being on. Thank you to our friends at AmeriVet as well. And if you want to learn more, we're going to put everything in the show notes too, to the listeners that are tuning in. And then you can get more information and reach out to them as well. Thanks for being on, guys.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. And thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate today's podcast. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.